You know, there's an operative word in that song, "You're the one I live for." Live. You know, I've been around the church long enough to know that you do have to die to yourself. But the problem is, growing up, all I heard was, you guys have to die. You just have to die. You have to give up a life. You can't have a life. And that's not true. Jesus said, "I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Well, having life isn't always getting to go, always traveling the world and stuff like that. It's going out knowing that no matter what comes my way, I'm equipped. Jesus is there. And you can still go out and travel the world if that's what you want to do. There's still some traveling I'd like to do. But I got this funny feeling that there's going to come a day I'm going to get to see it from an aerial view. I'd love to see the Great Pyramids on my way up. Praise God. Well, a couple real quick announcements. Don't forget, we have War on the Floor today. If you haven't already given our usher the or put it in here, your prayer request, make sure he gets it before we pray, and I'll make sure that we pray for it. Don't know what happened to my voice this morning. It was great until I stepped out of the Jeep out there a little bit ago. Evidently, God's going to do something. But just remember, what we're seeing isn't the way we have to stay. Okay? I just felt like I needed to say it that way. None of this stuff. What's going on in Canada? What's going on Spotify? What's going on? Neil Young really thinks a lot of himself. Anyhow, but what's going on in Columbus? What's going on in D.C.? We have so much stuff going on that's pulling us. And we just need to remember, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change God's plan. So, well, let's bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. Father, we thank you to be here to worship you. Lord, I thank you right now that your presence is felt here. That because we gathered in your name, you showed up. Now, Lord, we honor you today with our tithe and our offerings. We bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and those super kids may be dismissed. And we have an escapee. Well, I see everybody weathered the storm. That might help. Which is kind of fitting for today's message. I don't know about you, though. When I seen all these people on Facebook putting a meme up there, pray like it's 1978. There was a part of me that wanted to reach through the screen and slap their picture. No! It wasn't fun. Oh, we had so much snow, we had no school. I would have rather went to school. We were 2 weeks. We lived in the middle of nowhere. Without electricity. Dad opened the garage door. I remember he opened the garage door. It was white. Solid white. He had to actually dig out in the front so he could get out and see that the snow drift went up over the house. Yeah, no, it wasn't fun. Wasn't even allowed to go out and play in it. It was so deep. Like, but we got snow. For those of you that like it. For those of us that don't, it's going to melt. I promise you that. But you know, it got me to thinking about storms. Christians don't like storms. Whoops. I'm falling apart up here. We don't like storms. Somewhere along the line, somebody taught a false message that you can actually stop all the storms in your life. Ignoring the fact that Jesus said, first off, it is impossible that no offenses should ever come to you. I think offenses could be storms, don't you? And the offenses are generally brought up out of absolutely nothing. Seemingly just so as storms, right? There's always something that storm is rooted in. I'm still blaming a lot of, hear me out on my theory. I'm not a scientist, not a science teacher. My theory is, though, if you puncture our ozone fast enough into a vacuum, what should happen mechanically? Should not there be a trail? And doesn't that create a vacuum down here and pull stuff? We keep sending this stuff up. We want to explore space. Why? We don't even know this earth yet. We have parts of this earth that we don't even understand, and yet, I mean, I get it. It's nice being able to talk on your phone. I can call China right now. I think we're doing stuff that's stupid. We need to pace this stuff. But we do things in our own lives that create these storms. We listen to lies of the devil. We refuse to let go of things. They create more and more turmoil. See, Jesus was no stranger to storms. In Mark chapter 4, you can read, it's not going to come up there. Like we said, our program said you can enter your code now or start a free trial. No, we have to enter a bunch of information to get it. So it's like, yeah, hope y'all brought your Bibles. Hope y'all know the words. But going back to where I started off with, many preachers have taught that you don't have to go through storms, that you can stop the storm. See, Jesus stopped the storm. I have a little different view on that. I am here to tell you that I think Jesus had every intention of riding that storm out. He got in a boat. He was preaching in the boat. And they just kept right on. They pushed it out after he dismissed everybody. And they're going out through there. And they were in evidently a little larger boat than what everybody was used to. And Jesus decided, well, I'm going to take a nap. You know, if you're going out cruising, you can handle the up and down. And you can sleep during that. And Justin goes, ugh. Last time he was on a boat, that's what it was doing. 6 feet up, 6 feet down. And the guy who gets seasick at just looking at that was sitting back there, we need a fish. The one who doesn't get sick, she's chumming for fish. But Jesus is back here asleep. He's in the stern on a pillow. And a storm comes in. I read about these storms on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. It's in a rift. If you've never looked at the maps of the world, look at it. It runs right down through the Gulf of Aqaba, right down through Africa. The Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee are the two lowest bodies of water on the planet. And they're both in that big rift. The Jordan River flows through it. You can even see, like I said, you can see this thing from satellite. It runs right down. You can follow it. And because it's so low, it makes the hills around it even higher. They're 2,000 feet above it. So what happens is, anytime an easterly wind blows, it comes up over that mountain and it's cooler. Y'all ever notice when we get these nor'easters, we have severe weather. They're not normal for us. And when they come down, they always bring devastating storms. Temperatures in the 30 below range. Winds. They're not normal patterns. And so anytime in the Israel area, when these storms would come over, these winds would come over, they'd hit that warm body of water. Now you'd think that because it's down below sea level that it's going to be colder, right? You'd think. I worked in a mine that was only about 90 feet below the surface around in this county. It was only about 90 feet down. And if it was an 85 degree day, it was 120 in that pit. For some reason, when you go down, that heat, it was just always hotter. Don't know why, because normally heat rises. But when this cold air comes over those mountains and it hits that warm body of water, it creates huge waves. See, the Sea of Galilee is only 241 feet at its depth, at its deepest. And that's not a very big area because it's only 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. They say you can actually stand on one shore and you can see the shores. You have to pretty much go over to Kelly's Island and get out that way before you can start seeing even a hint of Canada up at Lake Erie. If you've never done that, anybody who hasn't gone up there and done that, okay, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm telling you, do it. Go up there. If you can get up into Perry's Monument, get up there and look and see. Because you need to understand something. Lake Erie is a lot bigger than the Sea of Galilee. Lake Erie is usually only about 200 feet deep at its deepest, but its average is around 62. That's not deep. And that's why even Lake Erie can have more devastating storms, because it's so shallow that water hits it, the water's warmer. It creates more problems, and they can create 20-foot waves crashing. So this is what happened with Jesus. They're in this boat. This wind comes up and over, and it's common. This wind comes up over those mountains and hits that cold air colliding. You know what happens when cold air collides with warm air around here, right? It has a tendency to like to go in circles. Well, that's basically the effects they were having. And it was starting to fill the boat. And these guys are freaking out. They're like, Jesus! Jesus, wake up. Now, mind you, he's asleep. Now, I had the privilege one time of, we were going to go fishing with a minister in North Carolina. We had chartered a boat, and we had a hurricane coming in. Well, boat captain called it. He said, we're not going out. Everybody was there. So our pastor and the minister, they left. And one guy I'd eventually start working for, he said, hey, if you guys can give me a little bit of time, I'll run home and get my boat. There's about six of us that said, we're game. 2 hours later, he shows up. We get his 23-foot boat in the water. Mind you, folks, 23 feet isn't nothing on the ocean. Okay, and he said, oh yeah, they're saying they're six foot swells. He's like, that's nothing. I'm like, well, it's taller than me. So I take it. The particular time I was talking about with Angela and Justin 2 years ago, we were in a boat that was about 30 feet on Lake Michigan. And at one point I looked over. Our wave had gone down, the next wave was coming in, and I looked over, and it was nothing but a wall of water. So praise God, we were pushed up. Because I'm like, this ain't how I want to go out. It just picked us right up. It wasn't much longer, and we ended up leaving because they were getting worse. But this particular case, the waves were starting to come in. And we had to get through the breakwaters on the Atlantic Ocean. And Pat, his name was Pat, he just throttled that thing up, and through them breakwaters we went. And we came up out of the water. Y'all see these videos, people flying up out of the water with their boats. Imagine jumping from about the ceiling onto straight concrete. That's what it feels like. It's not like, oh, it's water. No. My knees came up by my ears, and I hurt the rest of the day. It hit so hard. At first, I thought, yeah, in the air. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. We hit the ground, or hit that next wave. I'm like, no, this isn't cool. I don't want to feel that again. That shock went right through my body. These disciples were experiencing these kind of waves that were enough to push the boat up, enough to come over. So this was an extremely violent storm. And Jesus is sound asleep. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no way I could have slept through that. No way. I couldn't. Justin went in the cabin on that other boat and he went to sleep. He slept for, what, 2 hours or something like that? There's no way I could have. And so these disciples are like, Jesus, what's going on? You're asleep. Don't you care that we're about to die? See, Jesus knew these storms were coming. I'm not saying that he knew in that particular day that the storm was going to come. I'm just saying he knew they could come. And he also knew that he had a mission. And that if his mission was not to die in a boat, it was to die on a cross. He had confidence in his Father. He had faith in his Father. I've been in planes where I remember flying out of Jacksonville, North Carolina on a puddle jumper plane. You know what those are? They're just the tiny ones where you can actually reach the other side of the plane. There's a tornado on the ground. We're outrunning a tornado. And this little plane gets up and... You know, and I hadn't walked away yet. And I'm still trying to hold on to some faith. And we're up there, and one guy next to me, he's like, oh, man, this thing's going to rip the wings off this plane. We're going to go down. And I said, here's the way I look at it. God has a call on my life. He has something for me to do. If it's my time, we're going. But I said, if not, he'll have angels out there holding those wings on. We've landed. I've been on planes where the fuel was pouring out on the runway. They said, well, we're going to stop this flight. You get to stay in Japan for another day. Oh, we're fine. We didn't have to do anything to the plane. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't do anything to the plane? I'm going to fly over the Arctic Circle. Took off. Fine. I had confidence, and I still have confidence. Do you know why the tree didn't kill me? Because God has a plan for my life. Didn't mean that a storm couldn't come. It doesn't mean that the devil's not going to try. It means you have got to find your confidence and your peace in God, not in the storm, not in, oh, this airplane. I mean, seriously, y'all look at the wings and how them suckers stress when they're flying. Those big planes are carrying a lot of weight and so much thrust that it takes to get to break gravity. And Jesus is back here in the back of this boat. He's asleep because he has confidence in his calling. He has confidence in his God. These storms, they're going to happen. You're going to have storms in your life. Another time Jesus had been preaching. He told the disciples, y'all head to the other side. I'm going to go pray. After he dismissed everybody, he went up the mountain and prayed. And it was evening. It became nighttime, so he's out. He walks down to the water, starts walking across the water. A storm comes in. Again, nothing uncommon. But here's what people fail to remember and look at. They were about halfway across yet. Okay? So they're about 4 miles offshore where the water is the deepest. That's where, right in that area, is where it's 200 feet deep. And here comes Jesus walking on the water in a storm. Here's what people don't get. He didn't curse the storm. He walked in his faith in God. He didn't need to stop the storm. He knew God would keep him. Stop and think about it just for a minute. I know I'm sounding like a little psycho here right now on this. How awesome would it be to be walking, first off, on the water, but in a storm where waves can hit 25 feet? Think about that. The wave that I was seeing up there was only about 8 foot on Lake Michigan that day. But they were getting bigger. It's getting a little more concerning, I'm not going to lie. I always tell people, I said, I didn't want to join the Navy because I didn't want to be on boats. I didn't do my homework to find out how Marines get to where they're going. Thank God for airplanes, because that's how I got everywhere. God is a good God. Oh, you need to overcome that fear of water. I don't have a fear of water. I don't like being trapped on a boat for months on end. But anyhow, Jesus didn't stop the storm. Could he have stopped the storm? Absolutely. He could have stopped that storm. But he didn't. He chose to walk through it. So many people, please pray that the Lord stops this. Why? You won't know what you're capable of until you go through it. Our military couldn't claim to be the world's finest if they weren't tested. We couldn't claim to have the finest Air Force unless they got tested. The best Navy, the best ground troops. We couldn't do it. You can't claim to be the world champion if you only play the people in your town. As kids, yeah, world championship's on the line here. You're out playing backyard ball. You really can only claim to be the world champion if the world participates. That's why I think it's kind of, I get it. We got some teams from Canada that play in Major League Baseball. World Series. Hey, is Tokyo involved in this? Baseball's big over there. And baseball's all around the world. And our football, well, we'd have to get past the fight with the rest of the world that this is football and that's soccer. But once you got past that, I think soccer is probably the only thing we all play that we could truly have a world championship. We try to do it with the Olympics. I haven't even turned them on. It's no longer the Olympics. It's not like I remember. Now you got China controlling people. Reporters can't finish their reports. It's become a political move. You will never know how good you are until you are tested. As a nurse, you'd only know how good you were once stuff hit the fan, right? That's when you knew. If you always went in every day and it was a great day, nothing unusual happened. You'd never know how good you could be. Teachers, you'd never know how good you were till you got through to the kid that nobody else could. You'd never know how good of a farmer you were if there wasn't a drought and you kept your livestock alive and your crops, and you were able to have a harvest. We would never know this. As Christians, we would never know what it's like if we never went through stuff. We say we have faith, but yet we don't exercise it. I've heard preachers that preach against going to the doctor. They're stupid. I'll just tell you that. I think they're stupid. You can go, and then there's times doctors can't do anything for you. But I have heard some that taught it's a sin. I totally disagree with them. That's not in the Bible, and it's not against faith. Well, I think I got this. Okay, well, thank you, Wikipedia Health, for Googling your own symptoms and telling the world that you got this rare disease when you just got a stomach bug. I had family members, they went and bought, back in the day, you didn't have the internet, you younger people. And one of my grandmother had this book. It was a medical book. You've probably seen them and worked with them. They have every disease that was known to man. They start looking through, oh, I got this right here. I've got that right there. Oh, you got the flu. So we try to self-diagnose ourselves and God healed me of cancer. Did somebody confirm you had cancer? Well, no, I know I did. I can feel it right here. See, this was all swollen up. No, you had tonsillitis. Well, I had this little floaty thing. It could have been a cyst. I had one the size of a half dollar right here. It attached to the skin, and when they had to cut it out, they had to took part of the skin with it. I used to tell guys at boot camp I got cut with a knife. I did. I didn't lie about that part. It was just the fact that I said it was in a fight. I also told him the Kingwood Mansion was my house. I told him the truth. I was just leading him on. But without ever knowing how good we can be, we have to go through these storms. You know, the other night I was sitting there in my house and this stuff's starting to blow in. And, you can hear the howling of the wind. Just sitting there. And that wind is just a blowing. That first night, it was all it was wind. And then we started getting snow. I wasn't been out of shape that Friday was level 3. It meant I didn't have to think about going anywhere. Oh, but Pastor, you've got to keep going. No, that's actually not scriptural either. Do you realize God ordained so many religious holidays for the Jews? Every month there was a holiday. Every week there was a holiday. And they didn't do anything. He wanted to show them, first off, that it's his blessing, not our labor. Oh, what are you saying? Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, I work. I just don't have to work as hard. I can listen to the Holy Spirit, and he says, don't do this, you don't do it. It's why Isaac was able to sow in a famine. When everybody else said, oh no, why are you planting? He says, because God told me to plant. And he planted and he reaped 100 times fold or 100-fold harvest. That's awesome. He was the only one. The only one, because nobody else dared to plant because it was all on them. See, storms bring out our faith. We're supposed to walk by faith. We say we walk by faith. We even used to sing this song, a really cool country-styled song. I walk by faith. Each step by faith. Every day we are to walk by faith. But I don't want to go through any storms. How are you ever going to walk on the water? When I was a teenager, about 13, maybe 14, my youth pastor said, "Who has faith that they can walk on water?" I was the only one to raise my hand. And then he looked at me and said, "And it can't be frozen." He knew me well. My reputation preceded me. But I said, "No, I believe I can walk on water if I have to." You're not going to see me walking on the water and recording it on TV and showing people so that they believe. You don't have to believe what God did. I believe God stood me up when that tree hit me. My feet weren't underneath me anymore. They were flailing off to the side, sliding down the hill. But God said, "You've got to get up." And when I made the effort, I was standing and the tree was still bouncing. It was the same voice that said, "Cut this one down first." For those of you that think God's out to kill you, he's not. He tried to stop me from being stupid. How are we going to walk by faith if we're never tested? If we're never tried? If we don't get the storms? You can be the person who's huddling in the boat. "Oh, we're going to sink. We're going to sink." Or you can be like the captain on Master and Commander as he went around Cape Horn and he was hanging out off the rigging and he's just a holler. And I'm like, "First off, you're nuts." But he was enjoying the storm because it tested his ability to navigate through a dangerous point. We should relish the moments. "Pastor, you're sounding a little psycho." Well, yeah. I'm telling you the truth, though. I'm not going to tell you, "Hey, brother, you got saved. Ain't nothing ever going to happen in your life. No good. Jesus is on your side now, brother. Hallelujah. Amen." Can I get an amen? Amen. No, I'm the one that's saying, "Brother, Jesus is on your side." And remember, he pulled Peter out of the water and they continued to walk. And then he stopped the storm. Did y'all ever pay attention to that? He didn't stop the storm when he pulled Peter out. The storm was still blowing. And he's got Peter by the hand. And they're strolling across the waves. Peter did walk on the water. Let's remember that. Oh yeah, he had the courage to get out of that boat. Last time I checked, there were 12 of these potential preachers of fire. And only one of them got out of that boat. He doubted. He looked at the natural circumstances and said, "This shouldn't be happening. What am I doing?" He was a fisherman. He knew what these waves meant. I don't know that they've ever actually done any work down below to see how many of these boats are on the bottom. But I'm sure there was a few that were sunk. And they told the stories. I mean, we still tell the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Got a 15-minute song to prove it. If they could have just pulled into the port. But you see, that's the way a lot of Christians want to be. We don't want to get the help we need to go in. We don't want to operate in God's faith. All he had to do was keep his eyes on Jesus. Quit looking at the circumstances around. Yeah, I know there's waves there. You can't miss them. See, I don't have to look directly at my hands, but I can see my hands. But I can look at my brother and say, "I can walk straight to you and my hands are still there. I know they're there. I don't need to look at them to see if they're still there." I can look at Jesus and know them waves are still, they're still climbing. And I believe at that point, I just kind of wonder what it would be like to ride a wave as it's swelling to crest and then come down. Was he surfing? But then he almost got to Jesus. And he's like, "What am I doing? What? It, boop. Jesus was right there. That's the picture I love. Him reaching through that water and pulling him out. But just keep in mind, it wasn't blue skies behind him. He couldn't see Jesus. He couldn't even see the hand. Jesus grabbed him. He didn't grab Jesus. And then Jesus gets out. And storm, knock it off. All right. Why did you doubt, Peter? Why did you doubt? And he went in. And you know another thing? Even when he got up from the other storm, he wakes up. You know, I don't know about y'all, but first thing in the morning, I'm not, you know, wake up, I'm really not ready to tackle devils. I'm not really ready to go close order combat here. I'm like, okay, got to find my way. Where's the coffee? Jesus wakes up, and he screams and just shouts and just makes, oh, wow, right? No. He stood up, and he looked around, and here's what Rick Renner says, that when he said, peace be still. He said those words denote one thing, and all Jesus did was, shh. Can you imagine somebody looking out over these waves, and they just go, shh, and they stop? That meant the wind had to stop, by the way. We all look at the problem. We don't look at the source of the problem. It said Jesus calmed the sea. Well, he calmed the sea, but he had to deal with the problem. The problem wasn't the sea. Y'all ever notice that the waters don't get crazy unless there's wind? There's a reason why there's waves. And those big waves are the problem. There's natural waves. They're just part of life. And Jesus obviously dealt with the problem. He didn't deal with just what was the circumstances. As I said, a lot of times in our life, we create some of the storms. I heard a man say one time, Christians would rather stand for 4 hours in a prayer line, in a service to get prayed over, as much as they would exercise. He said a lot of health problems can be fixed by a little bit of exercise. And I can tell you right now, since I've started exercising again, I'm like, wow. Now, this week has been a bad week. I've been a bad boy. But, boy, I'm going to tell you right now, I felt good. I was getting up. I was sleeping well. Pains and aches were starting to leave. But we don't want to deal with the problem. We want to deal with the symptoms. See, I just keep buying bigger pants. And then I found these. They're stretchy. I'm like, woohoo! They're great. A little long, but hey. See, that's where my faith, I'm still believing God's going to grow my legs. Yeah, I know he's not. Every time I read that in the scripture where it says, do you think you can change your stature one cubit if by worrying? I'm like, yeah, I'm stuck. This is it. Oh, but see, at least I got a son who's 6'2 and can reach the stuff on the high shelf for me now. And y'all think you'll laugh. I do. I use him a lot. Hey, Justin, come here. Get that for me. I'm not getting the ladder. He just walks over. Seriously. If we're going to deal with problems, you got to deal with the source of the problem. A lot of times in us, it's our heart. Okay? Our spirit. We're either hurting, and we're trying not to actually deal. You know, most of you probably got a splinter or two in your time, right? And anybody that's ever worked with metal, you're always going to get a metallic. And those turkeys hurt. And then sometimes you just can't even find them. You can't hook it. And you know what you have to do? You have to let it fester. And you know what? And then it festers, and it hurts, don't it? it. Oh, you're just like, oh, yeah, look at that. That, oh, man, that is so awesome. Look at the pus and stuff. This is hurting. Yeah, I love it. No, you're like, oh, man, I'm going to have to cut my arm off. But you have to go through that pain to get that thing out of there. And once you get that out of there, voila, it's like, wow. Y'all ever get those taste buds on your tongue that are really sore? I'm going to tell you an unconventional way to fix that. Some of you are going to go, ee-ee-ee. Cut them off. Fingernail clippers, make sure you don't get your tongue. Just get the bud. Cut it right off. It quits hurting. Instantly it stops. You don't really bleed. I'm telling you, try it. You think I'm kidding, but you make sure you don't get your tongue, because I got mine the first time I did it. I was speaking in tongues at that point. That hurt. I think she did the first one for me, and I'm like, okay, I'll do it myself. I think I can do this. I'm just telling you. You can gargle with a little bit of Listerine, but you know what I'd rather not have is the pain. I'd rather do something unconventional and not have the pain. I would rather forgive somebody as opposed to walk around with the pain. I'd rather deal with what the problem is. Because those things, I mean, I've had them for 2 or 3 days. And you're like, and you know what you're going to do every moment of that day? You're playing with it. It's like a sword inside your mouth. You're like, Or after you bite your lip or you're inside of your, you're going to do it again 10 minutes later, I promise you. There's just science. There's got to be science. My teacher, is there science to this? You bite it, you're going to bite it again. I promise. But just like that, we have to deal with the problems that are causing the storms. You see what I'm saying? We can't just say, well, you know, this is just only brought up against me. Listen, and I've heard that, and there may have been a little extra spiritual English put on that storm. But the truth of the matter is, these storms were totally natural. It's because of where Lake, the Sea of Galilee, they call it a lake now, the Sea of Galilee lays. It's 700 feet below sea level. That is nuts. I mean, I've lived at sea level for 4 years. Right at sea level. I can't imagine being 700 feet down. And so the sheer geography of where this place is at, it's a storm. It's a storm trap. And they're going to happen. Is there any way they can deal with it? Absolutely not. There's nothing they can do. You are not changing the topography of the Middle East. And especially that. That rift was there for a reason. Something catastrophic happened. By the way, you heard me talk about the crossing of the Red Sea. There's a reason they ain't finding nothing in the swamp outside of Goshen. There's a reason they're not finding anything in the Gulf of Suez. It's because it was the Gulf of Aqaba. They're actually finding Egyptian chariots and swords and horse hooves. Let me tell you what took place. The miracle. Here's the sheer miracle in this. And you can actually look at it from a satellite view. There's only one place that it could have ever happened. And it was right there. There's a huge beach. And everybody who got on that beach, they were trapped. And right in front of them is the only place they could have crossed, because either side of it, it drops to 1,000 feet. But right there, it was only a couple hundred. God parted that east wind. The same east wind that came to try to sink the disciples, God used the same east wind to blow the ground dry for Moses and the children of Israel, and raised that thing up, and they walked across the shallowest part of that gulf. But that gulf of Aqaba is the rift that runs down through. I personally have a tendency to believe that the gulf or that rift was caused by man. When we had to be, when God cleaned the earth with water, said he opened the fountains of the deep. I believe that all these continents were together. I do. The Bible says it. Y'all can fight that one, but it was true. I mean, I figured it out when I was in elementary school. I was like, wow, it looks like South America could go right up in here into Africa. And you know what? Those coastlines are identical. California, there's a reason why it's technically not really attached. I mean, it's on its own fault line. Because it matches what's in Korea and Japan and China. This has all been tore apart. And it was sin that did it. And God said, this is what's going to happen. So now we got this great big scar. It runs north to south. Divides the land where it's believed that Israel actually had. It divides the land that Abraham would have walked. Where Adam would have lived. Storms are not always a bad thing. You can keep me sitting there on the, oh, there's a storm coming, I'm afraid of the storm. I know, I get it. There's a lot of people that have issues with thunder. They have issues with the lightning. I love them. Like I said, I'm just kind of, a lot of things that scare a lot of other people, I'm good with. I sit outside now. If there's a lot of lightning, I'm going inside. I'm not that stupid. But I love sitting out in a thunderstorm. I mean, rain's pouring so hard, it's just like, man, I can't hear myself think. And then there's people, some of you even got dogs that'll do this. They'll hide. They hide during storms. Don't know for sure why, but I kind of like them. You can be the guy that's standing on the shore saying, oh no, a storm is coming. Or you can be the guy standing on the shore saying, all right, storm's coming, bring your best. We'll see what I'm made of. I saw pictures today, and I'll end this message with this, of a photographer that goes up to Lake Erie during storms and he takes pictures. He's a sports photographer. But to get these pictures, he puts on a diving suit, a vest, boots, and waterproof equipment and all that, and then he goes out and stands in the water. And the pictures, you Google it, Storms of Lake Erie, and you'll see some of the pictures this man takes. I think he's nuts. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll stand on the shore, but I know what's happening underneath. I mean, you can stand there even with gentle waves and you can feel the sand pulled out from underneath of you, and then your feet are stuck. And if you can imagine being in a storm where you're getting beat up, and he said he has been held under the water a few times longer than he'd liked. He says, when it gets like that, I get out of the water and go get a telephoto lens. And I'm like, that's my plan right there. Because these things are massive. A couple of them even look like the Grim Reaper. They have almost a face on them. I'm like, that is cool. I don't know how what happened to have those three holes there, but it was just like totally awesome. But there's people like him. He doesn't bother him. He goes out and stands in the water, just like the guys that surf. I got a friend in Florida. He was up, woohoo, we got a hurricane coming in. And I knew guys that did it in North Carolina. It's the only time you got waves big enough to surf on the East Coast with storms. But there's guys that go down to South America to ride waves that are insanely huge. And that's their only purpose. They have to be towed up on them with jet skis. And we're not talking 25 footers. I think they're in the neighborhood of three digits. And they're not going to hit the shore because they're in the ocean. You get wrapped up in that one and it takes you down, you're feeding the fish. But they do it. And unfortunately, they do it for a thrill. Not because, hey, you know what? I got to go through this. I will get through this. I will. That doesn't mean you can't have your friends. I told you last week, sometimes in your battle, you got to call for your friends. Hey, yo, I need some help. Calling for help is not a bad thing. All right. So, Mr. Patrick, if you'll bring me the prayer request, I'm going to get my water.